chair is a great friend of mine from Detroit, Michigan, named Steve.
Well, initially the committee told me that I was scheduled to speak on the lit movement in the 90s. And that's what I prepared myself for. I'm going to take you guys through the process of how they developed It Works How and Why. And I'm going to start off with their at World Lit 7, where they were developing this, or they were group consciousing the stories that are found in the basic text, there was some talk what is going to be our next lit project after the basic text comes out. And there was some discussion that we need a book similar to the Liquid Fellowship's 12 and 12. And there was some further discussions at Jameson, Pennsylvania, when they held World Lit 9, but I'm going to backtrack. Just the first documented conference that I've been able to document was held in Northern California, and they come out with a draft called 12 and 12, and in the later portions of it, tradition portion, you'll see Fresno Final. And then they held World Lit 9 in Jameson, Pennsylvania in November 5th to 7th, 1983. And then on the flyer there, you'll see we're polishing up a book that was never approved, Living Clean, and 12 and 12, and that was considered a second draft. The third draft is what some people might be familiar with. That is a San Diego Blue draft, and they polished up the first and second drafts. That's what they accomplished in San Diego. And it says, our workshop, we revised the drafts, which produced the third draft. This draft will be the proposed review form, which will be evaluated by the Lit Review Committee one more time before it is distributed to the Fellowship for review and input in the spring of 1985. Okay. Shortly after that conference, Bob Stone went up to Hazleton to work out issues with. They were requesting our basic text. Our basic text had already been out, and they were requesting a reduction in price. They were the major distributor to these treatment facilities, and Bob went up there with another trustee and worked out, you know, a deal at a reduced price. And this report right here that I'm going to read off, it's quite lengthy, but it's a report delivered to the fellowship, and it showed up in our news line, and it was given by George Halloran. You know, he was the World Service Conference chair at the time. And it says, as our fellowship has begun in recent years to get our act together, we have started to come to grips with a problem that we're all always with us. In this report, I will touch on several separate difficulties that have been smoldering, which in the near future we must face more clearly. For example, our literature for years consisted of five pamphlets and one little book. There, almost overnight, we had a book and more than a dozen pamphlets. 12 pamphlets were were approved at the 83 World Service Conference along with our book. Along with this work, all of this work was generated at workshops composed of our members. And while we may be satisfied with how our literature reads, the language, grammar, syntax, etc., others with a more formal education in English may not, we can say that it is okay with a more formal education in English may not. We can say that it is okay, that is our problem, and ignore it. But the fact is, we cannot ignore the issue or the problem because there are non-fellowship enterprises that are also involved in recovery, and some of them write their own material. The largest nationwide producer of recovery literature has recently written their own pamphlet entitled "What is Narcotics Anonymous?" This will probably not be the only pamphlet that they produce explaining Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and then it goes on at the bottom. I'm not going to read the whole report, but at the bottom it says we should endeavor to do our utmost to maintain an accurate and authorized description of our fellowship, the steps, our traditions, and how we work. The best way we can do this is to have our message in the best possible format and language. This is the only way we can prevent others from writing pamphlets instead of us. If we produce our literature with clarity, simplicity, accuracy, and in good English, there will be no need for outside enterprises to make their own rather than use ours. And the reason I'm reading this off, Ginny Swanson, she was recently elected as the World Service World Lit Chair, and shortly after Bob Stone, took the position of Office Director of the WSO, he made Ginny the Lit Coordinator of the WSO, and two trustees, they seen it as an impropriety, and they seen it as a conflict because, you know, a salaried employee of the WSO still holding a World Lit Chair position, and she's on the conference floor making motions. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up, in 1985, she brought a motion onto the conference floor that said that our basic text needs to be professionally edited and written, to clean up the language, grammar, syntax, and pluralization, and that's what they did. They ended up having our text professionally written. But I want to get back to it works how and why. After the Blue San Diego draft come out, and this was all within a month, her and Bob Stone made a decision that our Blue San Diego draft of It Works How and Why needs to be professionally edited. And anybody that's been around here at that period of time knows about this, but I got confirmation from our trusty chair. She was our trusty chair at the time that this all happened, and she, you know, that's something that I've learned to do too while I'm compiling history, is to go to the closest source of the time, you know, in our history to get confirmation, because sometimes, you know, I can read these reports or I can, you know, hear a story from one of you guys, and it's like if five of us see an accident, we're all going to see it different. But I try to go to the closest source. But anyways, she confirmed that two contracts were signed, and prior to that, WSO contacted a search agency, you know, you know, to find some professional writers, and they found a couple. He was a psychologist. He had wrote a couple of self-help books, and his wife, which was a member of the other fellowship, was 16 years clean, and they added it to this San Diego Blue Draft. Now, you guys are familiar with the 6x9 review with the white cover on it. When they had the quarterly in Charlotte, a bunch of members of Narcotics Anonymous started pointing out all these inaccuracies, and they started seeing, you know, paragraphs that were plagiarized out of the AA Big Book, and they brought it to the attention of WSO. World Lit reviewed this draft before they put it out to the fellowship. And when I went to the conference that year, it wasn't approved. It was rejected. It was outright rejected. It's in Bob Stone's book, The Trustees, the Board of Trustees, or the Board of Directors, and they made a decision to terminate that contract. That contract was for $100,000 to be paid out in increments of three, and I don't know how much was paid out. In Bob's book, it says that $100,000 wasn't paid out in full, but I do have a report here. It says additional support went to continuing development of It Works How and Why project, which cost $47,987,000 for 1988 for cumulative net loss to the WSO of $167,951 from 1986 to 1988. So I'd have to assume that you know, a portion of that money that you're talking about went to that contract. And that's where I come into the picture. I'm a late bloomer. I come in March of 1985, and I got, you know, involved in this project here, and served as an area lit chair, eventually, you know, moved on up to regional vice chair. And after that white cover review come out and was rejected, they made a decision at the 87 World Service Conference to assemble an ad hoc committee. And this ad hoc committee was put in charge of, you know, putting out another draft to come out with a white and a black cover. And the vice chair of the World Lit Committee, he was the one made chair of this ad hoc committee, and his name was Vince D. And he made a decision to open back up, to open participatory input, and seven workshops were held throughout the United States. I attended the Chicago conference. It was in January of 88. Seven of us packed in my van, and we went there and, you know, did input on, you know, the step portions. I remember my little committee, we worked on step six and seven, and some of the best times of my life. You know, it's like, you know, a bond. I don't know if anybody served it. Well, there's, I see some faces here, but people that did service back in them days, we became real intimate with each other. We knew each other's, you know, darkest secrets because we were living in close quarters. I can remember, and I don't even know the person's name, similar to Richard's story, somebody of the, a member of the host committee put us up, you know, in their house for, you know, that weekend. You know, I went there, I'm just, you know, I'm basically, well, even though I was a regional vice chair, you know, it was only, I wasn't even 3 years clean, and you know, I was still kind of green to service, but you know, it really meant a lot to me. You know, I can remember going down to VRC in 85, meeting Joe Proctor and meeting Greg, you know, and really stressing the importance of service. You know, really stressing the importance that one addict can make a difference. You know, don't slight your clean time. You're valuable. You have something to offer the fellowship. You know, and I can remember them days, you know. And then we started getting wind, you know. Well, my sponsor at the time, he was already serving on World Lit. He served from 86 to 88, and we didn't see none of our input from that Chicago workshop turning up, and none of it was in that black and white draft. It was a review. It was labeled R&I, review and input, and it was, you know, I went out to the fellowship, and you know, it was line numbered, similar to the gray book, and you know, insert, delete, modify, you know, that sentence, you know, that's what the numbers prior to the sentence was for, so you could, you know, mark down the number. But I became distraught, you know, when I didn't see my, you know, our committee's input being put into further work. I become disillusioned with the process, and pretty much, you know, gave up on the literature process. So anyways, there was a blue and white covered draft, and there was pink and white drafts. But once they assembled this ad hoc committee, you know, I'm going to backtrack. In 1988, our lit guidelines were modified one more time, and they inserted in there, the trustees were solely in charge of the tradition portions of It Works How and Why. The fellowship wasn't in charge of writing the tradition portions. They made an evaluation committee part of World Lit too, so any input that the fellowship did send in had to be evaluated by that committee, unlike the gray review or earlier, you know, pieces of literature. All our input was considered. Anyways, this is something that I just recently found out. The only person, and I got all the signatures in one of these books here of anybody that ever signed in at the prior seven World Lit conferences. 412 participated in them seven World Lit conferences. But let's fast forward to 1989. Sally E. was the last person. She attended three World Lit conferences. She was assigned, you know, to this ad hoc committee, and she, from 84 to, I believe, yeah, 84, 85, 86, she was the Board of Trustees conference chair. But her mother had just passed away, and she had some health issues, and she resigned completely. So she's the last person working on It Works and Why that had any connection with prior lit work. She was the last one. I mean, I got the names of the people that, you know, they elected to this thing, but, you know, we used to talk about this stuff, and people would just, you know, it's like thinking we're making this stuff up. We had agendas behind, you know, and I got reports here, you know, and I got, you know, in 1988, World Lit, you know, they brought in a consultant for this ad hoc committee. Bear with me here. Here's a World Lit report to the Board of Board of Trustees, the Board of Directors, and the Joint Administrative Committee. And from Danette B., the chairperson of the Tradition Review Ad Hoc. But anyways, it says Saturday we begun at 9:30 a.m. The consultant was in attendance, as well as one World Literature Committee, the chair is Bryce S., and another member of World Lit. So only two members of World Lit were present. They had a consultant already on the project. He was going to inform them, you know, of best practices of furthering this. He is basically a production manager and rewriter. He went on to discuss outlines, group facilitators, schedules, pre-review ideas, and the use of content input. So now we got mention of of a consultant. Okay, later in the afternoon, discussions then turned again to the hiring issues of professional writers, addicts, non-addicts, etc. The committee board of trustees is responsible for the management of this project, and regardless of whom is hired, we need to ensure that the needs of addicts and the fellowship's desires are met, and integrated into the finished project. We're moving into 1991 at this point right now, and that's when the last two drafts were out. You know, they were the pink and white ones. I don't know if you guys were around in 90, 91, 92, but that, them are the last drafts to come out, and shortly after that, a green-covered one. That was the final review of the whole project, and it says a tradition ad hoc, a paid consultant. Okay, that's the paid consultant. 1991 Board of Trustee Lit Review Problems. The WSO cited employee attrition, lack of time, and sufficient funds to hire skilled staff. Lee Manchester, our senior editor, has been assigned major writing and editing on both the Daily Book of Meditations and Tradition of Projects, and has been given supervisory responsibilities for the WSO editorial staff. The Board of Trustees Lit Review Committee expresses its desire to see the second half of the review version completed to ensure the tradition portion of the book be ready for action by WSC 93. Just prior to the conference, you know, in the car report, the final It Works How and Why was in there for, you know, you guys to group conscience at your groups and take, you know, your, or give your conscience to your RSR. And obviously it was approved because, you know, you guys got the book. But that's the basic history of that. You know, anybody that was involved in early lit writing projects, you know, felt hijacked. You know, at least I felt hijacked. I was hijacked by the powers to be. I don't believe it was an open participatory, you know, project. I believe that limited input went in or was considered. I don't believe it's a true reflection of our fellowship as a whole. And I have to believe that decision was made by the influence that Hazelton had on Bob Stone. He even mentions it in his book. He mentions it a few times early on, you know. the evaluation committee. This I'm going to close with this. The evaluation committee in 1988, one of the best pieces of literature ever. They kicked this back, Return to Originator. The man who wrote this wrote our traditions that are in our basic text. And if you want the unaltered version, we got copies of the gray book that have the unaltered version of the traditions in it. And I'm going to pass this over to Billy. Before I do that, I'd like to say happy birthday, Billy. Today's his 58th birthday. Okay.
Go ahead, brother.
My eyes. Yeah, hug Steve.
Yeah, everything. So it's good.
Right, thank
way
you.
To go, man.
Thank you, brother.
I apologize for the slow reading. My eyes are getting bad.